So this is the day the Lord has made. He allowed us to be here together. And He has something for us every day. We say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So He wants to be first and foremost in our lives. Amen. How many know that life is much better when you put Jesus first? Amen. Things will work out the way He wants it to work out in your life. But, you know, we got to cooperate with God. How many would agree with me that it was not the Father's will that the prodigal son left? Somebody say amen. He went on his own. He said, you have sovereignty over yourself, over your body, over your decisions. However, in my house, it's much better. And so hopefully we learn the lesson. Amen. After eating hog food for a while, you say, you know what? I don't like it here. It's always better. I'm running back, amen, to the Lord. We just need to run back to Him. And guys, you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning. You just need to make a course correction. Just make a course correction and say, okay, I got off there. Find out where you got off and get back on course, amen. And the Lord is merciful. He's gracious. I know I do believe in the sovereignty of God, but sometimes we say God is in control, but God chooses to give you and I control over things in our lives. Hello. So He's not responsible for decisions we make independent of His will. All right, they get us into trouble. But the enemy would entice you to do something against His will or outside of His will, and then he'd turn it on you and have you blame God for what he did because you listened to him. So God gives us responsibility over our lives. We have to make the right choices. We have to choose the will of the Lord each day. Amen? So we know God holds us. He's got us in the palm of his hand. But my responsibility is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit every day. And he doesn't force that on people. Love is not forced, amen? Love has to be consensual. You cannot love on command. It was a commandment, amen? But the commandment was simply there to help us understand that we can't know God, we can't know his ways, we can't love God without a relationship with him. And under the law, man did not have a relationship except for those prophets and priests and kings under the old covenant that were anointed of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They had a relationship with God. We see that all throughout David's writings. Amen. In the Psalms. And he had a relationship with the Lord. But the people that were under the law, even the law of Moses, struggled under that because in their own humanity, they were incapable of living up to the standards of the law. And that's why Jesus came. When the law could not save us, in mercy, God gave us his son as an offering to pay our debt. Amen? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The only way we can be justified is in Christ Jesus. Title of the message this morning is The Life Which I Now Live. The Life Which I Now Live. How many are living a new life now? How many have found that new way of life? Amen. It's not a patch up of the old life. It's a brand new life. Hallelujah. God, amen, hits the reset button. And we have a fast forward from here. Amen. We're on a race. Amen. We got to run with Jesus. Amen. Because how many realize that time is flying? The days are quickly going by. I can't believe we're already into February, near the end of February. John 19:30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you will use me today, Lord. You'll grant me utterance to speak. Father, I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you and not from man. Use me as your vessel today, Lord. Reach through me today. Touch through me today. Speak through me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All the toils, all the persecutions, the rejections, the mockeries, the sufferings, the agonies of the cross were over. The work of redemption was finished. The price for our sin was paid in full. The work that the Father had given Jesus to do was now complete. He said, "It is finished." The price for our sin was paid. Amen. The way into the very throne room of heaven is now open to us through the blood of Jesus. And what God wants us to do is to live from the finished work of Christ. That is something that we can achieve, but is something that He has already done for us. And now He provides the grace for us to walk in that victory that He has already won for us. The enemy has been defeated in that in our lives, when we're in Christ, the power of sin is broken, the power of Satan is broken, but we have a responsibility to simply enforce that victory that is already ours in Christ Jesus. The enemy does not want people to know that. You don't have to climb your way up to heaven, amen? You call on the Lord, a simple word crying out to Jesus. The veil is open, amen? The way into the holiest is now open. So we can come with confidence, with boldness before the throne of grace. Because Jesus has opened the way for us. And is not based upon our value, our worth, our what we've done. But our confidence needs to be in what He's done. What He's accomplished. What He's already finished. And we're to live from the finished work of Christ. From a new foundation, Christ Jesus now. We now live in the resurrection. In new life. Amen. How many know the cross was not the end? It was the beginning. But on the third day, He rose again victorious. Hallelujah. We have a great high priest in the heavens. An intercessor. An advocate with the Father, our Lord Jesus. We can cry out to Him. He hears us. See, the idea that we simply need to place our faith in the promise of God for salvation, healing, deliverance, plays against our natural reasoning. I don't know about you, but I've struggled with this whole idea that I really didn't have anything to do with salvation other than come before God with a whole mess and say, "God, forgive me, have mercy on me, a sinner." Isn't that the one who's justified? Not the one who says, "God, look at all the things I've done," but the one who said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." A one who acknowledges their depravity, the fact that they have fallen short of God's expectation. All of us have fallen below God's standard of perfection, which was the law, which is perfect and holy, but the law could not save us. There was no power to save in the law. The law simply revealed to us the reality that we are sinful and we need redemption. We need forgiveness. We need cleansing. We need a new heart. See, in our natural reasoning, we think we have to do something to earn God's love and acceptance. How many have ever been caught up in that thing where you're trying always to please people around you? That they would love and accept you if you just do all the things you think they expect you to do to make them happy, and you become a prisoner of their opinions. How many know that's bondage? How many of you can't please all the people all the time? So often people seek love and acceptance, again, from people by doing things that please them. In other words, it's an attempt to earn love. To earn love. And some people even do favors for others as a form of bribery. Now, I did this thing for you. Now, what do you give me in return for that? How many know God's love is not self-seeking? God's love is sacrificial love. Jesus laid down his life for us. He did it willingly. No man took his life from him, but he did it willingly for his sheep. How many know that people who love you will bless you without any expectation of a return on their gift? I'll read it again. Some people that love you will what? They will bless you without any expectation of a return on that gift. How many just like to bless people? You bless people because you love people, right? They simply love you, and therefore they want you to know how much they love you. And of course, again, under the law of Moses, man tried or attempted to be justified by strict adherence to the demands of the law. And this is what we call legalism, which was a loveless devotion to God's law that was perfect and holy, but did not possess the power to save the offender. So again, the law simply revealed sin. So today, some people still remain in bondage to this thinking, but no one is able to be justified under the law of Moses. And there are those today that are trying to pull people back under Torah observance and the law of Moses with grace. But if you confuse law with grace, amen, you will be confused. You will live bound. There's only freedom in Christ. When we come into Christ, amen, we come out of what was into what is now, which is a new creation. That's the only thing that matters, a transformed heart and life. God gives us His heart, puts His Spirit in us, and He writes that law on the tablets of our heart. In Galatians 5 and 4, it says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace." That's what it means to fall from grace. It's not making a mistake or falling into some temporary sin. That, yeah, there's grace for that if you'll repent. But falling from grace means falling out from under God's grace and coming back under law, to where I'm now trying to justify myself by the things that I do so that I can earn enough credit to be accepted by God and therefore have a place in heaven. And that was the problem with the law of sin and death. We could not live up to its expectations, to its standard, to its perfection. God leveled the playing field. Everyone, up and out, down and out, they all have to come through Christ. They have to come through the cross. There's salvation, none other, no other way to the Father. See, under the law, we had no power to live victoriously over sin. But when we come into Christ, we come into His victory. Jesus won the victory for us at the cross. Romans 3:21. But now, everybody say now. The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. There's only one way. Well, he's a little bit more righteous than that one. No. None of us are righteous apart from the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness is imparted to us, amen, as a gift. The Lord is my righteousness today. I don't trust in my righteousness. When we are trusting in our righteousness, then we become self-righteous. And then we begin to compare ourselves to others. We begin to compete with others because we're thinking in ourselves that somehow I'm just a little more righteous than Joe over there. There's only one superhero, right? And his name is Jesus. He's the overcomer. And the overcomer dwells in the heart of the believer. So greater is the overcomer in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Romans 10 and 4, for Christ is the end of the law. Somebody say end of the law. For righteousness to everyone who believes. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, what? No flesh shall be justified. Our works, listen, don't get ahead of me, but our works do not justify us before God. We are justified before God by the work that Jesus accomplished on our behalf. This does not mean that works are not important. I need to add that. Because a justified person will bear the good fruit of his or her justification. Why? Because you have a new heart, and that heart desires to serve and please the Lord. Because you want to love the Lord. Amen. And loving the Lord is obeying the Lord. So good works are the result of our justification, but not a means to justification. You see, so many live in this bondage where they're trying in themselves to do enough good to be accepted of God, and they do not have victory because they're trusting in self rather than in Christ alone who justifies. My faith needs to be in the Lord and in His promise. I believe His word. I don't believe my thoughts. Amen. I believe His word. I don't put my faith in my feelings, but in God's truth. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, somebody say, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So not as a means to justification, but because we are justified before God, then we can serve the Lord acceptably, amen, without fear of judgment or condemnation. We can walk in good works. We were prepared in Christ Jesus for good works. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people, and we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing what? Good deeds. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say. So again, the key to a victorious life is found, listen, in the finished work of Christ. Mm-hmm. Well, today I'm going to live a victorious life. I'm going to really put my willpower to work today. And to keep myself from all those negative thoughts and those deeds that I know I shouldn't do, I'm just going to be strong today. And I'm going to resist, and then I'm going to be proud of myself if I do well. Up until the time when you do bad, and now you're back under condemnation, right? Because you're putting your faith in you and not in Christ's power, amen? And the finished work that He's already accomplished for you. And the victory is yours because the victor lives in you. So we're to live from that place of forgiveness and reconciliation, being made right with God through the blood of Christ. Not as something to achieve by our good works, but as something we believe and receive by faith in what Jesus accomplished for us. This is really the simple message, but Paul had to continually defend this message of the cross because constantly these things were being attacked by people. There were people that were constantly trying to bring the believers back under bondage to the law. And the same thing happens in different ways today, even to us. There are so many voices and so many persuasions and understandings out there, amen, of what it is to be a believer. And we need to understand that the gospel is really a simple message. It's Christ and Him crucified, and my faith in Christ alone that justifies me and brings me into peace with God, so now I can with confidence serve my God, amen, and bear fruit unto eternal life. So we need to consider ourselves dead to this old life of sin if you're in Christ today. Romans 6:11, how many know this? Likewise, you also reckon yourselves or consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If anybody had boasting rights, it was Paul. Of all the things he accomplished, right? In the flesh. All his education, all his training under Galileo. How do you say Galileo? When he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And so, in the flesh, he could boast about his degrees and his accomplishments. But before the Lord, he had nothing to boast about. Because he understood when he had that wake-up call on the road to Damascus, amen. That man, all the time I thought I was doing God a favor, I was working against the Lord. I was an enemy of the cross and didn't even realize it. Why? Because I was trying to be justified by myself and by my own works. Christ alone. There's no place for self-righteousness or self-confidence in that statement. He says, I live by faith in the Son of God. He went on to say in verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. And by the way, that's a good line to use with people that are caught up under legalism. If you can justify yourself by yourself, then there was no reason for the cross. But Jesus knew we could not save us, right? We could not save ourselves. So he took upon himself the form of a man. God became a man. Christ, amen, came as our sacrifice to pay the price we deserve to pay. The cross was a victory. The enemy has been defeated. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And the overcomer lives in us, in Christ Jesus. When John saw Jesus in Revelation 1:17, he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Who has the keys? Jesus. Jesus won the victory for us. He is Lord of all. Colossians 2:13. And you were dead, because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. Who did it? God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by what? Nailing it to the cross. All the transgressions under the law, which was perfect and holy, God took away. Amen? And it was nailed to the cross, paid in full. Never to be held against us again, praise God. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. What did he do? He disarmed the enemy. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. What is it? A victory over the enemy. All power, all authority, what? Has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. belongs to Jesus. He has been given the name, what? Above all names, every name. So Jesus wants us to possess the victory that is already ours in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Colossians, isn't this so awesome how what God did for us? He told ancient Israel in Deuteronomy 1:21, "Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you, do not fear or be discouraged." What was God telling him? "I'm giving you the land of promise. Amen. I've made you a promise of a land that's flowing with milk and honey, but your responsibility is to possess it because I have already set the land before you." In other words, God said it's already yours. The victory is already yours. You just have to walk it out. "For the just shall live by faith in what God says." So our responsibility is to believe God. Because the victory is already ours in Christ. Not only that, but the victor, again, lives in us. And in Romans 8:37, "Yet in all these things, even persecution, sufferings in this world," it says, "we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Once again, we simply are to live from the finished work, okay, of Jesus on the cross, from a place of being set free from the power of sin and Satan. Amen? And we are to enforce in our lives the victory that God has already accomplished for us. It is already done. The enemy lies and tells us that you can't and you won't. But God says you can do all things through Christ because he is your strength. We're not putting our faith in self anymore. We're putting our faith in him, the victor. And the victor is living in us. Hallelujah. And greater is he, what? That is in me than he that is in the world. In order for us to live a victorious life today, we need to possess the areas of our soul still given over to the enemy. We are complex creatures, aren't we? Even though positionally, freedom is ours. We have to, by faith, possess the areas where the enemy may still have a grip. And how does he hold on to that grip? By telling us lies, such as you can't, you won't, you'll never. You can't be free from this thing. You can't overcome that thing. You can't get free of that habit. Come on. So he tells lies, and if we believe a lie, we give power to the lie to rule over us. Even though God has already given us the victory over that thing, we've already been set free positionally in Christ, and we simply need to use the authority God has given us to enforce that victory in our lives and not listen to the lies of the devil anymore. The only thing he has is lies. That's it. And people that believe the lies give him power over them. Come on. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall..." Amen. Because remember what God said to Israel. He said in Numbers 33:55, "If you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell." He's saying, listen, I've given you a land. Amen. I've given you peace. But don't have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have nothing to do with sin. Have nothing to do with the devil. Amen. No sympathy for sin in your life. Because when you do have sympathy for the devil, you give him a place in your life. In the areas of compromise, you're allowing him to stay. But God says, kick them out. Drive them out. Come on, somebody. Quit listening to the lies. What does God say? How many ever felt condemned before? You slip up, and the enemy's quick to pounce. And they heap the condemnation on you. Aren't you glad we have an advocate with the Father? We simply, right away, we turn to Jesus and we cry out, Jesus, forgive me. And He does. And then you tell that devil to take a hike. We need to take possession of this vessel, of this body. Amen? Our body belongs to the Lord. It is now His temple. Amen? We are to possess this body and sanctification and honor. We're not to give ourselves over to sexual immorality because this body belongs to the Lord. It is His temple. Amen? So I have to enforce the victory in my body on a daily basis and not allow myself to go places or do things that we know, that I know, God says no. That's not for you as a child of mine. So we need to take possession of our mind, our emotions, and our will. Really submitting our will. All right? And if we'll take possession of our mind, our will, and our emotions, then the victory, amen, we will experience because it's already been dealt with. All right? But I have to, in faith, take authority over these areas. All right? See, the enemy cannot remain where he's not allowed to stay. And he's only allowed to stay in the places where we rebel against God's word. So we need to say yes, Lord. Amen. If God says no, it's no for me. If He says yes, it's yes for me. How many know there are more yeses in the Bible than no's? If we just focus on living out the yeses, amen, we won't have time for the no's. The devil has no power to make you or I do anything because we are in Christ. Somebody say no excuses. Again, God gives you sovereignty over your body and what you do. But with that comes a stewardship too. Amen? Because this body belongs to Him. So we're given an answer. So these are the three areas we need to possess. Okay? If you will, it's possessing the land of our will. And what do? Well, you submit your will to the will of God. You simply say yes to the Lord's will. Prioritize what He wants over what you want. And you stay under His protection, under His authority. We must allow Jesus, right, to be Lord over us. And that means we're to live right because we are citizens of heaven. We're representing Him in the earth. And the second thing is we must possess the land of our emotions. We cannot allow our emotions to dictate our decisions. How many have done that before? We must live by the word of truth. We are not victims, but victors in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? So often our emotions can get us in trouble. Many people only obey God when they feel like it. Or if there's some personal benefit in it. Well, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like witnessing. I don't feel like praying for people. Come on, somebody. Well, you don't live by your feelings. You need to take possession of your feelings. And you need to make your feelings submit to the will of God. Amen. I found out that good feelings follow faith. But I'm not following good feelings, I'm following faith. And I'm following what God says to do. Amen. And when I obey God, even when it goes contrary to what I want or what I feel, come on, I always feel better. There's a blessing because I said no to me and yes to Him. So we need to possess our emotions, our will, and then, of course, the enemy wants to keep that foothold in our thought life. But we're supposed to set our affections or our minds on things above. God has already won the victory for us. He's already overcome the world. He wants us to possess it by faith as something that is already freely given to us. The victory is already ours. consider it finished, done. In Christ, I am free from the power of Satan, from the power of sin. I can enforce by faith in my God, amen, what He's already done for me, and I can live a life that honors God because God gives me this thing called self-control, which is also a fruit of His Spirit. I'm not relying upon me, but upon the power of God. Amen. And my faith is not in me, but in the power of God, the ability that God supplies me by His Spirit. So that means, even though God had given Israel the land, possessing the land was still up to them. They had a belief for it. All right. Would you agree with me that often our struggle is in just believing? Because things happen. We see things. We hear things. We feel things. But we're not to live by sight. We're not to live by the way things appear. We're not to live by our feelings. But we need to live by faith in what God has promised us, what God has already freely given to us in Christ Jesus, and that is freedom from the power of sin and Satan. I consider myself dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. I'm living in the resurrection, relying upon the power of God on a daily basis, amen, to keep this body in order, to make it obey, amen, me, as I obey God. Somebody say amen. So we need to believe God. Listen, for our salvation. You don't earn it, you believe Him for it. You need to believe God for your healing. Yeah. Can God do it? Yes, absolutely. Is anything impossible with God? No. Jesus said, nothing is impossible to them that believe, for with God, all things are possible. So if you need healing, believe for that. It's already been accomplished. Jesus has already won the victory. He's already overcome it. By faith, believe it. Amen? The bottom line is we need to trust God in every situation. When my mind can't figure it out, I need to trust Him with my heart. And know that His heart is good. And that God carries me. That He's going to be faithfully committed to me no matter what. It's not based upon my goodness even. It's based upon His faithfulness. Are you hearing that today? He is my goodness. He is my righteousness. He's everything I need. Amen. If you have Him, you have everything you need. You have life. And you have an abundant life because He is abundant life. He is the fountain of living waters. If you need deliverance, you need to possess it. Jesus has already declared freedom over His people. By faith, we take authority over demons. Amen. And we enforce the victory and we kick them out. Amen. You take authority in Jesus' name. Possess that. I'm fully convinced that God does not want any of His people to be bound by the devil. Amen? He doesn't want people bound by demons. He wants us to enforce the victory that He's won in His name. Take authority. Because He wants people to be set free. Whatever you're struggling with today, you need to possess it. Amen? By faith in Jesus' blood. In His accomplished work on the cross. Amen? And that His power is being poured out today. Hallelujah. All right? To break every stronghold. To demolish it. Hallelujah. To set every captive free. To heal the sick. Hallelujah. Even to raise the dead. Hallelujah. According to your faith, the Bible says, let it be unto you. If we change our mind, we can change our lives. It's about a renewing of the mind. So that my mind is now in alignment with what is true. What has already been accomplished on my behalf because of the sacrifice of Jesus in the finished work on the cross, I can now live from that victory and know the devil has no place in me. The devil cannot make me do anything. I have to enforce that, though. And when I'm tempted, I enforce it. Amen. I don't yield to temptation because I rely upon God's power, His grace. Amen. In those moments, I don't look at the sin. I look at Jesus and say, Lord, help. Cry out to Him. Amen. Because He is able to make all grace abound to you if you will trust Him. If you're here today and you're struggling in your mind and your thought life, maybe you feel overwhelmed by thoughts. Maybe you're struggling with nightmares and night tremors and tormenting thoughts even. You know, that's of the devil. You know, God wants to set you free from that today. God wants to break that in your life today. I believe God wants to heal you today. Do you believe that? How many need healing today? Half mass? Okay. If you need salvation, we used to sing this song when we go to the jail ministry. Is if you want salvation, tell Him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. If you need the victory, tell Him what you want. Amen. If you need some peace of mind, tell Him what you want. Hallelujah. But it's the Lord that we look to. Our faith is in Christ alone and in the finished work of the cross that He has overcome and spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And He's been exalted to the highest place, has a name above every name. And how many He's authorized us to now go in His name and represent Him and set the captives free. Hallelujah. Let's do that. Let's do what we're called to do. Amen. Step out in faith and believe God in Jesus' name. The enemy was defeated at the cross. And you're supposed to live from that finished work. Hallelujah. So, let me ask you today, where are the areas in your life where you need victory? Maybe as I've been speaking this morning, God has been speaking to you about something that you know that He wants you to deal with. And maybe you've been struggling with that and trying but not having success with that. Sometimes, you know, we need to call for backup. Sometimes we just need to ask a brother and sister, amen, to pray for us and believe God with us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I appreciate your prayers. Believe me, I need your prayers. We need each other. We have a direct line to the Lord. Amen. But there's times when we just feel overwhelmed. It'd be nice to have somebody, amen, that I could bounce something off of or talk to or have pray with me. Amen. And I want to encourage you today, and you need prayer for anything. I don't care what it is. If you feel like maybe there's something that you need deliverance from today, maybe it's even a habit. Maybe it's a stronghold of addiction. You know, it could be something where you're being tormented, you know, at night. But God wants you to be free today. Why? Today is the day of salvation. Today. Don't wait. If God has put something on your heart today, I want to encourage you to let us pray with you today. I'll come into a prayer of agreement. Jesus said, if two of you shall agree as touching anything you shall ask in my name, it shall be done. Amen. According to His will, if we pray His will be accomplished. Hallelujah. Maybe you're sick in your body. Maybe you need some healing today in your body. Well, praise God. Last Sunday night, Marcy got a healing. God healed her hip. Her hip was out and she was in such pain. Well, guess what? After we prayed Sunday night, she, for this last week, she's been without pain. She's been praising God. God is still healing today. Why don't you believe God for your healing? We're not the healers, but He is. But we can agree in prayer and believe for your miracle today. Amen? Hallelujah. How many are just maybe struggling with pain in your body today? Just a hand if you're struggling with pain in your body. Okay, let's just begin with this. Hallelujah. All right, now we're going to practice. All right? Hallelujah. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name that, Lord, You have authorized us to go in Your name, Lord, and to heal the sick. to drive out devils, to proclaim the kingdom. Father, we look to you in Jesus' name for the grace right now to do just that. Father, we're asking that you release your healing power and that you drive out sickness and disease and all demons of infirmity. We come against the enemy in Jesus' name. We come against pain in Jesus' name. And we command pain to go right now. I say go right now in Jesus' name. Leave everyone right now. Get out of this place. Pain, get out right now. And any spirits that cause it, get out right now in Jesus' name. We put you on notice. Jesus Christ has overcome you. He has overcome sickness and disease and every demon. Hallelujah. And so in Jesus' name, loose them right now. Hallelujah. Now check yourself. Somebody say amen if you felt that right now, if you received that today. Amen?